Chapter 9. The Ramlord glanced between the raptor man and me with a look of distress on his face. If I knew him the way I thought I did, I knew it was only a matter of time before.
"Siskan," Mech sighed impatiently, "don't you know when it's time for you to leave?"
"Is that what this is?"
Siskan asked with an amused grin ticking up the corners of his mouth.
"My cue to exit."
"Blast it, you old snake, of course it is,"
he growled, as he tried to get the other man on his feet and out the door as quickly as possible.
"Don't you have things you need to be doing, places you need to be going? After all, it is your wedding day. I'm sure if anybody is in high demand, it is the Regent Prince."
"All right, fine,"
the raptor man said, but he lingered by the table still and picked out a few hunks of meat. Mech eventually lost patience and began shoving him toward the galley exit.
"I can see when I'm not wanted,"
Siskern laughed.
"I'm going, I'm going."
I ended up waiting in the galley by myself for a few seconds while the Ramlord saw to it himself that the regent was completely gone from the premises. I was about to send out an all-points bulletin for the man when he strode back through the door.
"Now that he has been taken care of, I demand, on the basis of our friendship, that you tell me your secrets,"
Mech said as he dusted off his palms like he'd just taken out the garbage. "Pot, kettle," I stared at him with a deadpan expression and inwardly grinned when he gave me a sheepish smile. "Relax, I'm going to need all the help I can get when I reveal my gift, so I'm going to have to teach you first. You'll know all about it before the party, trust me."
"That's all I wanted to hear," he said,
as he looped his thick arm around my shoulders.
"I hate anticipation like that. I was always terrible at waiting to open my birthday presents on my actual birthday."
"So we're still friends then?" I asked.
"Yes,"
he said, and then scrubbed one of his big trash can lid hands through my hair in an obnoxious ruffle.
"For now."
"Gee, thanks," I snarked at first. But then a wicked little idea occurred to me, and as casually as I could, I made one last remark. "If only you knew where I got the idea in the first place for the gift, that would truly make your head spin." The Ramlord chuckled along with me for a moment, before the implication of my words actually sunk in, and he stopped as he glared down at me.
"What's that supposed to mean?" he asked. "Who did you get the idea from?"
"Now that is something I'm not allowed to reveal to you," I said as I moved out from underneath the big man's arm. "Okay, grab your dishes and help me put them in the sink so we can help Vel out a little."
"I hope you know you have destroyed possibly countless nights of sleep for me with your diabolical plan to drive me insane, Alex Brightwood."
The Asher Lord of Nada Isle loomed over me with a mock menacing sort of air that was ruined by the stack of dishes in his arms, and I realized he looked like a busboy. The only thing missing was the apron. "I'd say it's the least of what you deserve for keeping me in the dark all the time," I jabbed, and then hip-checked him so he would know I was joking.
"Oh, payback, is that what this is?"
he said and checked me back. "For keeping me in the dark all the time?" I smirked. "Maybe a little."
"Alex!"
a too tiny and too cute voice piped up from outside the galley.
"Where is Alex?"
"Are Mira and Dawn here, too?" I asked as I rushed out of the galley.
"Hello, Ambassador."
Lord Mech's beautiful deer wife greeted me with a regal nod of her antlered head.
"Have you been well?"
"Alex!"
The little freckled deer girl at Dawn's feet reached up at me with her two little grabby hands, and I had no choice but to swing her up in my arms and plant her on my hip. "I've been as well as can be expected," I replied to Dawn, as I booped the little girl on her elfin nose just so I could hear her giggle. "How about you guys?"
"The journey treated us well,"
she said as she glanced around the interior of the ship.
"You have quite a mechanical marvel on your hands, Alex."
"So it seems," I said, and patted Mira on the back when she gave me a cuddle.
"And how have you been, little missy? Have you been staying out of trouble?"
The toddler leaned back so she could look at me in the face.
"No, I give Mama headaches."
I couldn't help but bark out a laugh at the way she said this with so much pride, and then I shot an apologetic look toward the deer woman. "Sorry," I said as I set the little girl back down on her feet.
"Don't be,"
Dawn said, as she observed her daughter with a weary but fond look.
I would have her no other way.
Alex!
Mira tugged on my hand and then plucked at the silver blouse she was wearing.
Look at the pretty dress I'm wearing. Isn't it pretty?
So very pretty, I agreed with the appropriate amount of enthusiasm.
I wear it for the wedding,
she said matter-of-factly, like toddlers do.
We're getting married.
We are, I asked, and then grinned up at both of her exasperated parents. Oh, what a surprise.
It is a surprise,
she agreed and clapped her hands.
And there will be cake.
Perfect, I said as I patted her on the head. Please save a dance for me at the party. She looked at me with those big, innocent eyes and whispered out a hopeful,
Really?
Really, really, I replied, and tapped her nose one more time. She let out her trademark high-pitched squeal, and then ran behind her mom so she could bury her blushing face in the dear woman's skirts.
Come, daughter,
Dawn said in her gentle voice as she picked her up.
We have a lot to do before the party tonight. Say goodbye to Alex.
Bye-bye, Alice,
she said politely and waved her chubby fingers. M'lady, I said, and bowed at the waist before kissing the back of her hand. This caused her to giggle shyly again before she tucked her face back in the shelter of her mom's shoulder.
I shall see you later, my loves, the Ram Lord said, and then kissed his wife and daughter before they left.
Don't play too hard,
she warned with a wink, and then they were gone. All right, I said as I rubbed my hands together. Let's gather the troops, and then I'll show you the glorious ways of dodgeball. It took a little doing to get everyone together, and to cobble up some makeshift dodgeballs out of pillows and cloth. But once everyone was amassed outside in the airship's courtyard, it was simply a matter of explaining the rules and then dividing the teams into two groups of five. Pretty much everyone on the airship, except for Vella and Bowden, joined in to play. This meant on one team, there was Rylan, Zoe, Anwar, Arvid, and Mech, followed by Horace, Amaya, Jenner, Shay, and me on the other. Each team was pretty equally balanced as far as skill and dodging ability, so we were pretty closely matched, and out of three rounds we ended up playing, it was neck and neck until the last round. The strategy Mech's team were employing was to use Arvid as much as possible, which was actually rather brilliant. Since the Slothman was the biggest thing on the other team, it was almost impossible not to hit him within the first few seconds of the round. However, since it took him forever to walk off the playing field, the other players had plenty of time to dart behind him for the occasional shelter. It made getting them difficult. However, Arvid also posed a disadvantage to them early on due to being so slow. There was no denying the big boy was a perfect shield, but the fact he was such a big obstacle caused a problem for the other team if they needed room to leap out of the way. Using these things I'd observed about my competition during the first two rounds, I was able to help my team whittle the others down to just Lord Mech against Horace and me. The battle royale that ensued was epic by all standards, and the formidable Ram Lord proved once again why he was the king of Nada Isle by pulling out every trick in the fucking dodgeball Bible in order to avoid getting hit. At one point, he took to hoarding all of the projectiles until he could gather them all up in his large arms, only to fire them at us like a goddamn Gatling gun. Horace didn't survive that one, and he took a ball to the knee as he tried to dodge. Then it was just me and Mech. The good news was I had the advantage of having all the balls he'd fired over to my side. Every single one except for the small throw pillow currently in his hand, which he used to deflect all of my shots until I was also only holding one ball. The standoff continued like this for a tense while, until something finally gave. In this case, that something was a psych-out by Mech that I was prepared for, and when he attempted to take his shot for real, I crouched down and fired my projectile for his legs. There was no time for the Ram Lord to recover, and before he could make a choice on whether to dodge or jump, it was too late. My ball bounced squarely off his thigh. Yes! I hollered as I thrust both of my fists into the air. Victory for us 2-1! The rest of my team, who'd been sitting out on the sidelines, came rushing toward me so they could join in on the cheering. And the other team even cheered along with us until we had all collapsed and sprawled out on the hard ground.
So, this is going to be your gift to Siskern and Gris?
Rylan asked.
I don't understand how this is considered practical.
It's simple, Rylan,
Zoe explained.
Once Alex teaches ball dodge to the Terrans, they can use it as a training exercise. Picture playing this game again, but instead of soft projectiles, picture actual weapons like knives.
Oh, I see,
he said. And if you wanted to teach the kids a little something, you could switch back to the fluffy stuff, Horace added, before he demonstrated by firing a pillow ball at Rylan's face at a near point-blank range. See?
Hey!
The boy yelled, and he wrenched his arm back in order to fire the projectile back where it came from, but was stopped by Shay.
This has truly been one of the most enjoyable training exercises I've ever been involved in,
Mech said as he got to his feet and dusted himself off.
Thank you for having me be a part of it, but next time we definitely need to be on the same side.
You got it, I said, as I clasped forearms with the other man. We'll get our chance soon enough.
Very true, he laughed. For now, I will say goodbye, so I may prepare myself for the evening's festivities. And based on the sun and the sky, I suggest you all do the same.
Gavlin is right, you guys, I said as I clapped my hands together once. We all need to be getting ready. I didn't realize how long we've been playing. From that point on, the crew and I scattered back to the airship and to our separate corners in order to prepare ourselves for the big event.
I wasn't sure what all to bring from Nata,
Jenner chattered to me as I attempted to tuck a frilly white shirt into my black trousers without much success. Definitely not this, I said, and I shucked the shirt that could have starred on Seinfeld once upon a time ago. What else have you got?
Try this,
he instructed, and he tossed a light gray tunic over the privacy screen I was using to change in one of the lower-level storage areas while the ladies took over our bedroom. The only time I peeked my head in to check on them and grab my good boots, it looked like a bomb had gone off consisting of dress fabrics and accessories. Not something I had any advice on whatsoever, so I made myself scarce. Are Shay and Zoe planning a theme, do you think? I asked.
Aren't they always?
Jenner asked, and I heard him wrestling through a few more boxes.
How about this one?
The tunic and light armor combo that came flying over the privacy screen a moment later was definitely new since I didn't recall ever owning anything lavender-colored in my entire life. Of course, this purple could be tolerated because it contrasted beautifully with the silver armored breastplate and armored belt he handed me. It was striking, and it looked powerful when I had it all on. Oh, this is excellent, I said, as I smoothed my palms down the front of my surprisingly soft tunic. Hopefully whatever those creative beauties come up with goes along with this, because I'm not changing again.
Regardless,
the koala man said, as he came around the screen and helped me adjust all of the buckles and straps along my shoulders and chest, before arming me with my blade. Since it was a relaxed event, I decided to forego the whole kit and caboodle and left my crossbow behind.
I am to tell you the Lady Zoe wishes to see you in the parlor so she may tattoo your skin with the designs of the evening.
Okay, but what are you going to wear, Mr. Jenner? I asked him, as I bent down to tie up my boots. Anything special you have set aside for such an occasion?
I did buy myself a nice new coat similar to this lovely blue one Zoe gave me,
he said proudly as he rocked up on the balls of his feet.
Only the new one is a nice emerald green.
Snazzy, I remarked, and then stood back up to my full height. Thanks for helping. Now, I'll leave you alone so you can go get ready.
Anytime, Mr. Alex. I'll see you shortly in the courtyard, he said,
and then bustled off to ostensibly get into his new green coat. Seeing that simple joy on his naturally wizened and serious face made me glad I demanded he accept a wage for all of his services. All of my crew deserved to buy themselves nice things if they wanted, and Jenner was no exception. In fact, I was thinking about giving him a little extra since he was so agreeable about returning to his cursed homeland, on the off chance there was a magic library that can solve all of our problems yet again. It wasn't often, but every now and then I found myself missing certain creature comforts from my world. Namely, anything that had to do with Wi-Fi or the Internet. If only Aventol had something like Google, maybe we wouldn't have to keep searching out all of these underground, forbidden, or really, really hard to get to libraries for the information we needed. Such was life. "I heard you wanted to see me?" I asked Zoe when I entered the parlor and found my cat wife sitting on one of the plush sofas with her sketchbook on her lap. When she stood up, I could see she was in the stunning blue dress she wore to the very first party we went to together. She was just as breathtaking then as she was now in that sexy two-piece halter with the thigh-high slits on either side of the skirt. But when I gazed at her, I was struck with how strange it felt to be looking at her in this outfit. So much time had seemed to pass in between then and now, and yet it also only felt like a blink of an eye.
"Alex?"
Zoe asked with a look on her face that told me this probably wasn't the first time she'd called my name to get my attention. "What?" I asked, and I focused on her face instead of the delicious dusky V plunging between her perfect breasts. What did you say?"
"I asked if you were ready for me to paint you,"
she repeated, as an amused smirk flirted around her lips. "Oh, I'm always ready for you to smear stuff all over my body," I said. And when she blushed, I placed a kiss right on her forehead. "What do you have in mind?"
"I really loved the colors from Lower Tear, and I want to experiment with some of the natural designs we saw down there,"
she said, and then went over to a small circular table where her brushes and dyes were all set up and organized.
"Will you be my first?"
"I'm honored to lend my face as your noble canvas," I said, just to see her smirk again. And this time I was able to catch that smirk with my own lips.
"Don't be such a rogue,"
she purred, only inches away from my mouth.
"Or else I'll never get this done, and we will be dreadfully late to the Regent and Asher Lord's weddings."
See, I know that's bad, but I can't help picturing all the other things we could be doing instead, I teased, and then waggled my eyebrows.
"Hush you, and close your eyes,"
she instructed, as she made me sit on the small stool across from her. I chuckled a little at her bossiness, but I did as I was told and let her work her magic in silence. To be honest, I was soaking up all the relaxation I could get before we had to go. Even though I had an apparent knack for the social schmoozing that went on at these things, I didn't exactly look forward to all the attention, small talk, and sometimes even awkward questions I tended to field at these events. So, sitting back with my eyes closed and letting this beautiful woman caress her magnificent art into my skin was just the respite I needed to gear myself up in order to be Ambassador Alex Brightwood. I could definitely tell from how tense I already was that a good meditation session would sorely be in order after this, and I honestly couldn't wait to be off to our next adventure, even though it was in the opposite direction of home.
"That feels nice," I mumbled,
after she put the brush down and then switched to just massaging my temples while the ink dried on my face.
"Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Let's stay here forever."
"I agree,"
Horace's voice shattered the moment and brought me back into the present.
"Let's just stay in, maybe tell some stories or play some cards."
"It doesn't work like that, Horace,"
Anwar said, and she floated into the room behind the Falcon Man. Both of them were dressed to the nines in matching black ensembles that went well together.
"Now, go over there and let Zoe do your face."
"Are the ladies getting their faces tattooed also?"
the Falcon Man asked as he glanced around.
"According to Terran custom, only men adorn themselves with makeup,"
she said as she came into the parlor next.
"What do I look like?" I asked as I looked around for a mirror or some type of reflective surface I could see myself in, but there weren't any.
"I'll do Horace the same way as you, so you may see what you look like,"
the Catwoman said, and I mouthed a thank you to her.
"Hey, does that mean I'll get face makeup too?"
Rylan asked as he came in next.
"Sure, if you want,"
Zoe said and smiled at the kid. She was almost through with Horace, and I could see some of the lines and shadowing she'd used made his face look a little more reptilian in certain lighting.
"Oh, is that really what I look like?"
I asked, as I came around fully to see what she was doing with her clever brush. She'd somehow transformed the Falcon Man's humanistic features into a dinosaur hybrid like the rest of the Terrans.
"It is to pay homage to them,"
she answered, and then indicated Horace could go dry on the sofa so Rylan could take his place.
"It's very cool," I said.
and then I watched her give Rylan the lizard treatment with her talented fingers. Finally, he was done, and the rest of our party trickled in. Amaya appeared to be dressed in a soft green dress with a high collar, and a short, flowy skirt that matched quite well with Mr. Jenner's new forest green coat and large brass buttons. He seemed to be her escort for the evening, and the pair of them looked so dapper. Then there was Shay, who always looked stunning in a gown that started as a deep red at the bodice, and then faded into a pale yellow at the long hem. The dress would have seemed rather conservative had it not been for the long slit directly up the center and stopping mid-thigh. With her at the helm starting with red, and with Rylan's light blue tunic and tan breeches thrown in, I realized our entire group spanned the whole spectrum of colors.
"I see what you did, you clever boots," Horace said as he wiggled a finger in his sister's direction.
"Do you like it?"
Shay asked with a proud expression.
"I couldn't really decide on a theme, so I just wanted color."
"We look amazing," I assured her. "Way for us to represent Nada."
"I'm still trying to figure out how Shay knew we would all be in something different,"
Anwar said.
"I switched my decision at the last minute from red to black."
"It's a secret."
The Phoenix woman grinned a mischievous grin, and it caused all of us gathered to break out into laughter. Laughter that was spoiled a moment later by a loud wail tearing throughout the corridors, followed by what sounded like two sets of feet running rapidly down the stairs.
"No!"
Velralla burst into the parlor with her coal-like eyes open so wide I could see the whites from where I stood. She heaved several breaths, and when Bowden came up behind her to try and coax her back upstairs, she flung his arm off almost violently.
"Vella!"
he tried, but she shook her white-feathered head.
"No!"
she gasped again, and her eyes landed directly on Zoe.
"No!"
The croak that left the cockatoo woman's throat when she moaned this last word was enough to set my teeth on edge, and the previously light-hearted atmosphere withered and died at the sight of Velralla's haunted face.